Welcome back, Contians, to another episode of I Can't Even Podcast. I am your host, Lakota Tawa. This is Shoot the Shit Sundays number 3, and I'm joined by my wonderful mamas, Chris and Susan. We're going to talk about COVID-19. Now, I know I've hit it before, but this is going to be more of like, okay, this is what you seriously should be considering. These are steps to take to protect yourself and others, and many, many more. Just a heads up, I tried something new. Instead of recording over voice over internet, I recorded the phone call. So the quality, it could be better. I will improve over time, so bear with me. I appreciate all my listeners who are supporting me while I'm going through these growing changes. It's like supporting a teenager while they develop. So shout out to you guys who have stuck around since the beginning and who have brought other people on who have still been here. You guys are awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview.
All right. What's up, mamas? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Perfect. Is mom with you?
Yep. We're walking in to the bedroom together.
Awesome. Well, let me first introduce you guys then. The voice that you're hearing, other than me, is my stepmom, Moo, mom too. It's my mom's wife, Chris. And then soon you'll hear mom, Susan. They live in Pennsylvania. Do you guys kind of want to do a little bit of a bio of yourselves? That way you know what to share and what not to share.
A bio meaning like I used to work for the state of Alaska in public health emergency management, and I used to work for FEMA type of bio?
Yeah, basically just like a brief introduction of who you are professionally, your experience, stuff like that, especially with some of the conversation that we're going to have today, which was requested by you. I think it would be great to let the listeners know your professional background and the point of authority that you come from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm Chris, and you know, I came from a FedEx hazmat background to begin with. So I did a lot of hazmat. I did a lot of pickups in the NIH and the Navy Med area. Then I went on into the federal government and got in with TSA and FEMA. And when we moved to Alaska, I got in with Alaska's Public Health as an emergency manager. And then I spent time on the West Coast, California, working as an emergency manager.
So needless to say, you've dealt with a lot of stuff.
I have.
And then, Mom, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Do you want to give a little introduction of yourself?
Sure. I haven't done anything near as what Chris has done. I spent 22 years in the United States Air Force as a medical logistician, and those are the people that keep your hospitals stocked and your contracts going and your equipment being purchased and warranties being done. I also have a few years, I think 29 now, in war reserve material for the United States Air Force. I now work, I'm retired from the Air Force, but I work as a federal employee as the chief of the Air Force Medical Logistics Operations Center. And nothing I talk about today will have any, it's not actually from the Air Force. This is from a Susan standpoint. So I did not pick the choice of topic today. So I gave most of my life to the Air Force, still working for them. I also gave birth to you and raised you and your brother. And that was, that's why I have so many gray hairs. Other than that, I'm just living the good life and ready for retirement.
That's awesome. Dylan and I definitely didn't make growing up easy or raising us easy at all.
Challenging.
So we'll just kind of dive in. First of all, I want to thank you guys both for being on this. It's definitely a different format than the vlog, which I still have plenty of footage to share. But Chris, definitely from my depiction and my attitude of COVID-19 a few weeks ago, has definitely changed now that it's ramped up. I'm still not in panic mode. I have not run out to get toilet paper or hand sanitizer. I'm still knocking doors, still talking with people. But you definitely wanted to come on the podcast and give your professional perspective on COVID and your opinions, I guess. Not even just professionally, just your personal opinions on how this is developing, how serious this is. So we'll definitely start there, and then we can bullshit with other stuff later on.
Well, before Chris gets started, I just want you to know that I am aware of your bathroom habits, and I feel that you should always, in particular, stock up on toilet paper based on the fact that you'll go through an entire Sam's case of it while you're here in a week. So other than that, now we'll carry on.
And that's asterisk. That's with a bidet. Dylan and I are the same way. Him and I just had a conversation. Dylan's my little brother. You've heard him on like probably the second podcast I think I ever had. But Dylan and I are super anal retentive about cleanliness down there, and pun intended. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why we're so particular about that, but
it's true. You told Dylan everything, so he got it from you.
Right.
Yeah, probably. Well, I didn't teach him work ethic because his work ethic's definitely better than mine. So we have plenty. I mean, we go to Sam's and we stock up, but we've not rushed out to buy out everything.
I don't think it's at that point.
If it's at that point, I'm not leaving. If it's at that point, I'm not leaving the house, period, and I'll improvise. So
at the same time, Cody, there's a concept in life that you kind of learn that at some point something bad is going to happen, whether it's you just lost your job or your business had to close and you need extra money to pay your bills, or like this, you know, that emergency that happens, whether it be the hurricane, the tornado, or this being a global pandemic, which makes it even worse because the economy gets screwed for everybody all at once. But there comes a time where you have to even out what you do in life and to make sure that you have some for a little bit later when you're not able to go get it.
Right.
True. There is something to say about that. I think what's happening right now is preemptive panic. And I don't think it's actually legit happening to the extent that you see on social media and on the news in all areas. But if you are to subscribe to those news outlets, we know which ones were that I'm referring to. There's no toilet paper left, right?
Well,
I just went to the store the other day. There's plenty, right? So don't rush out there and get toilet paper because you think it's going to run out. It might.
I will share with you that the Walmart in Hanover and the Giant in Hanover, Pennsylvania, those aisles are empty, and they've been empty for a few days. And I don't know why people have chosen toilet paper this time. I don't know why they choose milk and bread when there's a snowstorm coming. I don't understand.
It's nuts. It's always something. It's always
something
that people are rushing out. I saw on Facebook you stocked up on Coronas, which won't give you the coronavirus. We just have to say that to help the Corona brand. I pray for them. I hope I hope the best for that brand because their stocks plummeted when this went haywire a couple months ago.
They'll pick up. They're very supportive.
Yeah, you might single-handedly pick that brand back up.
I would actually single-handedly bring them back up. And you know our people do enjoy some good Corona, so they're not on the boycott list anytime soon. So they're very supportive. So I could see that our people will bring them out of this slump.
Your people meaning the LGBTQ community, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You know we are the best boycotters.
Yes, I love it, and I fully support. Obviously, I was raised by the community. So COVID-19. It's picked up here in Laredo. I think there are already talking about closing schools, which for these kind of things, I think they really should start limiting people's interactions with each other in close confinement.
Social distancing is the term.
Yeah. Okay.
You need to stay cognizant of your social distancing.
Right.
So schools are closing now. I'm listening more to the governors because the governors are seeming to sidestep the dramatics of Trump. But, you know, the governors are cutting, they stopped the schools. Now they're starting to stop the racetracks, the betting facilities, the casinos. And now it's even going into the bars and restaurants to stop the social, the socialness of everybody still.
That's right, yeah. Cody. The world's gone mad.
Right. So we're actually, we had, I don't know if you guys even knew this, but we had a trip to Vegas planned for April 21st.
Oh.
And here in a couple weeks, right, or a few weeks. And last night we had just sat down as a family to discuss, hey, what we probably should push this back.
Right.
Right. It's not ideal, but honestly, if we went to Vegas now, if we could even go, everything's going to be shut down. There won't be any shows. There won't be any casinos. Like, it's legitimately time to start reconsidering that. Mm-hmm. So we're now looking at maybe September, October, which broke my wife's heart. But she was really dead set on this. We've had it planned for months, but it's time to like start adapting. Right.
Right.
After this went on for like a couple of weeks, I started reconsidering, okay, this is, I'm not in panic mode, but that's just who I am. But it is a lot more serious than, you know, just social distancing yourself. Like, people really need to start planning a little bit more. So do you have any like tips going forward on like how you can prepare besides ransacking your local grocery store, Costco's and stuff like that?
Yeah. So, you know, the big concern, Cody, isn't that, people are going to get sick. We don't want them to get sick. People are going to get sick. This virus is going to go through, and it's going to continue just like a flu, but it's worse. The problem is that if everybody gets sick at the same time, and in some states already and in some countries, they've had to decide, actually triage who lives and who dies.
Yeah, I heard in Italy, like, they're actually, like, legit nurses and doctors right now that are carrying COVID-19. That still have to be on the working floor because there's shortage of staff and stuff like that, which is super unfortunate.
Right. So the reason they're closing the bars and the restaurants and all of that, it's not to, you know, destroy the economy. What it is to stop young people or people who don't want to stay home from carrying the disease back to their elderly, back to their higher risk people. And you know, just like,
or their toddlers or anything like that.
And toddlers can seem to handle it a little better. It's like people like my mom, your grandmother.
Right.
If she would have catch this right now, she's just had heart surgery, she's got MS, you know, it would be very bad. Her immune system is very low, and I really do believe it would be the end, and that would be horrible. So, you know, I don't want Kelly going out to the bars and the restaurants because it's not going to affect, you know, the younger generation as much, but they're bringing it home to their families, and then it's being spread worse, and it's just horrible. So,
you have to, during a pandemic, you have to be conscious of other people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever this virus is taking. Now, the last one took out little kids more. So, mm-hmm. you know, it depends on the virus, but you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're part of this whole world system and that you can't do risky behavior that's going to kill other people.
Right. Well, and it's not even like, quote unquote, risky behavior, right? It's normal day-to-day things that we like take for granted that we now have to reconsider. Like Kelly Ray, talking about my cousin, your niece, even just her going to college, right? Going to her classes, right? Is actually not putting her at risk, but putting grandma or Trisha or, you know, anyone who is at risk,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting them in preemptive danger or anything like that.
Right.
So it's a lot more serious. And, you know, I remember the last, like, I guess, pandemic that I was a part of was swine flu, right, that I can remember. I mean, avian flu was something, but swine flu, when I remember being in Mr. Graber's classroom at West Frederick Middle School, and people were legit panicking. No, that was avian flu. They were legit panicking, like, oh, my God, we're all going to die, right? And then that seemed to pass a couple weeks later. What makes COVID-19 so much more dangerous, and for some reason we haven't figured out a way to stop it spreading like we did with avian flu? What's the biggest difference there?
This is a novel virus. It has never been seen before in the human population. It came from an animal, probably a bat.
There was a bat in Africa that they have kind of pinpointed, but there was the wet markets that in China, and especially in the Wuhan, that they believe this all stemmed from. And it could have been from a bat, but it could have been from something that has interacted closely with the bat.
It's from an exotic animal.
Right.
And, of course, people stigmatize that and say, well, you're not supposed to eat them. Well, people up in Alaska shoot moose. We're eating wild moose, and some people get sick from it. We eat whale up there. So this is not abnormal to eat wild animals.
Well, and not just wild animals, but, like, going back to exotic animals, right? It's only exotic because, like, we don't experience that in our local cuisine, right? But in China, because there are so many people, and I think a lot of people, including myself, forget how many people are there in massive, like, close proximities, right? So, like, New York City has how many people? What, 10, 12 million people? Right.
In a very small area.
Right. Wuhan itself has 15 million, and then that metropolitan area has 60 million. Right.
And
so,
it's a national airport.
Yeah. So there's, and because they have such massive populations, right, their cuisine is a little bit different. They literally rely on anything and everything they can consume for proteins or anything, right? Because of that population.
Just the culture. It's their culture. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's,
but it's developed.
We eat cows, and people think that's weird. Right.
Right. But it's evolved, right? If we were at that massive population, we'd probably eat a little bit weirder stuff, right?
Well, they consider it to be delicacies.
Yeah.
So,
well, if
anyway,
you go to those wet markets...
Anyway, to get on with the idea of the novel virus. So here you have a virus that has gone from an animal. It's now in a human. It's brand new. We have no research on it. And it's doing things that we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's attacking elderly people. It's not attacking. It's very more serious for people that are older that have other issues already, you know.
Right.
And we don't know that it's going to mutate again. More than likely it's coming back next season too. And we have to, you know, figure out. We have to create a vaccine for it. And that's not easy, and that's not fast.
No. And then you have some people that will refuse to get vaccinated because they think it's going to get them sicker. So,
well, the anti-vaxxers. That's another story. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. But
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's never been seen. It hit exactly at the right time of year with all the travelers, with everything going on, and it spread. And it's globally spread. And it's spread
and
in the last
where
few
it
months.
Became dangerous.
Correct.
Well,
so,
and it hit at a time where flu season was coming to its peak as well.
So people that were
showing up to the hospital with similar symptoms were like, oh, they're sending them back home with treating them with the flu,
mm-hmm.
right?
Not the flu.
And it's not the flu, right? And going back to what Chris said about mutation, the odds that it would mutate are super low, aren't they? I mean, a virus is like whole point of existence is to spread, right?
But they're constantly, because, you know, viruses are constantly evolving and changing. A virus wants to keep living.
Right.
So,
what I'm saying is the odds of it not mutating are super low, right? It's obviously going to mutate and come back next year, just like influenza does, right? Influenza, every year we have to revamp our vaccinations to combat whatever mutation is going to come that season, correct?
Correct.
Now, we're able to do that with, you guys obviously aren't like virologists and stuff like that, so you may not even be able to answer this, but you might have an opinion, and that's all this is about, right, is using your professional experience to conduct, you know, probably a more accurate opinion on things. Especially considering me, I'm not a professional in any aspect of life.
I can tell you that.
But, right, how, this is a novel virus, right? But we obviously know that it's a SARS, right? So it hits the respiratory system super hard, and it spreads in the air. We have vaccinations for other SARS. We have vaccinations for other coronaviruses, which are usually some form of influenza, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus
is a cold. Most
right.
coronaviruses that you know are the common cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and we have ways to treat that.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not? Okay.
Right.
That's true. That's also
you
true. But we've also been able to like combat spreading to some extent, right, with forms of treatment. I don't know how cold, like, because I take it as like the
you typically just kind of like self-isolate yourself and you rest and the cold goes away, but you do spread, your body fights it away. Yeah.
Right, i.e. why you get the symptoms is because your body's fighting it.
Correct. You know, and the best thing to think about here was the HIV, that when that came out, and you know how we and many other countries didn't do anything about it because it was considered a gay disease, not a disease you get through sexual intercourse or exchanging the blood,
through homosexual activity, right?
We went from a very deadly virus to now people can live a very long time with the virus to possibly now people being cured from it, but now we have to live
just
with it.
Recently,
it's out.
Yeah.
Pandora opened up on that one, and it's out, and we're never going to be able to eliminate it now.
Yeah.
I mean, like smallpox, we try and eliminate these things. And basically, when this thing went into a pandemic, the odds of us ever eliminating this are now gone, and we're always going to have to fight this in the human population from now on, this coronavirus.
You know what's spooky is that the ice cream guy is passing by, and I still have not soundproofed these windows. So as you're talking, it's so annoying. I mean, I feel so bad for the listeners because it's like, and this guy sometimes has a family right next door to this house,
mm-hmm.
and he'll just sit there with this tune, and then sometimes his competitor comes at the same time, and I'm trying to record a podcast, and you're like, oh my goodness, we're just gonna go through it. The listeners will deal with it. But it makes it a little spooky because it's like playful music and we're talking about a very deadly pandemic that's happening right now. Chris, when you and I had spoke about this, a few days ago, maybe last week actually, you had equated this to hepatitis as well, right? Like its ability to like, its durability.
For a long time. The study is, you know, between stainless steel and I think cloth, and they've tested a couple plastics, a couple different surfaces to see how long it lasts. And actually on stainless steel, which is very much in the medical arena, is stainless steel, but it lasts the longest on stainless steel.
Okay. Which is
so
scary because stainless steel, right, is like the end all be all in culinary arts. Right, it's like stainless steel is like what we use for like to prolong, like to prevent rusting, and also for clean surfaces.
Yeah,
right.
The reasoning for stainless steel is that it can be easily disinfected. So,
correct.
You know, you just have to be very cognizant when you disinfect, whether it's in the food service or the medical service.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's actually pretty prevalent in medical as well.
It doesn't absorb all the stuff. You can easily disinfect it. So, yeah.
So it's a non-porous surface. So that's why it's
right. That's not too much. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just feel like I haven't been satisfactorily like answered as far as and maybe because I haven't asked it correctly. We have like a base level of vaccinating flus and SARS and stuff like that why can't we kind of piggyback off of those? And maybe they are, right, at CDC. Piggyback off of those.
They have tried.
Okay.
The vaccinations take time. Even, you know, the flu vaccine that you're going to get next year is for this year's flu. And nobody knows, because it takes about a year to create a vaccine that actually works. And they have to test it. So they've already created the flu vaccine for next year based on what was this year. So next year, you may get a vaccine that's going to work, and it may not work for you. They are working on a vaccine. They have tried different pharmaceuticals that worked on different viruses, and they haven't found one that works. So they're still working on that as well to try to combat this one.
And I think, and you're saying it here again, Cody, people are trying to say that this is a flu. You're trying to like it to a flu, and it's not. It's a coronavirus.
Correct.
So it does not necessarily work with anything that we've used with the flu. It might, but it's the common things we use for a flu aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's not a flu.
Right. I think that was like the biggest mistake in the media. And
right.
Also, I mean, Trump got a lot of shit about it. Like, why can't we just give him the flu vaccine, right? It's like, well,
idiot,
it's a completely different virus, right? But it's honestly not that commonsensical when we're talking about epidemiology and we're talking about how this microbiology exists, right? A lot of people don't understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I myself am like, how did this become, you know, so widespread all of a sudden? And the only thing I can think of is we weren't looking for it, right? It was kind of there, right? Disguising itself. And I think the reason why people are confusing it with influenza is because it does have similar symptoms. Not all the same, right? There are just some that are pretty similar that a medical professional could easily be like, yeah, it's flu season. You have this. Go home. Here's this and that. Here's a flu shot. Whatever it is, right? But it definitely is a lot more serious. So when do we start panicking? Is the question.
Well, let me cut back on one thing.
Uh-huh.
Epidemiologists are always looking for the new virus coming out. They are constantly surveillancing for that. And the
uh-huh.
problem was in China this time, I don't know if it's happened before or not, but this is what the story is. The doctors tried to say something is wrong here, and they were stymied by the Chinese government. So,
yeah.
they didn't want to
shut down all their manufacturing factories and stuff like that.
For whatever reason, the epidemiologists that normally sound the alarm were sounding it, and they were being taken out and arrested and made sure they couldn't talk. So that's, you know, that is why it got as bad as it did.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, no, on top of that too, I don't know if you guys recently got into podcasts, like listening to podcasts. What
mm-hmm.
past year, past few months?
Yes, one of our favorites is called I Can't Even.
Yeah, appreciate that. Shout out, right? That's my plug. I'm going to do another plug. I'm a huge fan of Joe Rogan. So are millions of people. If you're not listening to Joe Rogan, I think you should. It's a super fun and in a weird way, it's very informative as well. But he recently had a guest by the name of Michael Osterholm. And Michael Osterholm he has like an official title with infectious disease. So it was great timing on Joe Rogan's part, but he's an epidemiologist in chief of the acute disease epidemiology section. And then he works for Minnesota University now doing the research. But he'd actually predicted something like COVID-19 back in 2017 in his book. He goes, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I predicted this. And that's why I mentioned the wet markets, because he goes deep into that. He goes, this obviously stemmed from an animal, and then it mutated from animal to animal and then became accessible to humans. And then because it was where it was at in China, it spread rapidly. Because in those markets, especially the wet markets, Mom, you've traveled to Asia quite extensively, right? Have you ever been to a wet market?
Yes, and I won't buy anything from there because
no.
not because it's nasty, but because if some of the meat wasn't as refrigerated as much as my stomach's used to. However, that's how they're raised. That's what they eat. So it's fine for them.
Right, for most of them. But mm-hmm. it's still, he's saying it's a breeding ground for bacteria and viruses. And,
because
he was saying there's actually, they're thinking, and I feel bad for my poor ferrets, that this actually might have evolved from a combination of some kind of virus from chickens and another virus from ferrets, or chickens and bats, or something like just exotic animals that normally are not cohabitating, right?
Well,
put together in the same market, and then are now able to exchange bacteria and viruses to the point where then it mutated. And then not saying that it's ferrets or bats or anything like that, but he's saying because of that combination that's not seen really anywhere else except for in those Asian markets, right,
mm-hmm.
that's why it spread.
Well, that could be, but I would just like to know that I just want you to know and your listeners that the LGBT community does not believe in the cohabitation of bats and ferrets. We think it's wrong.
Solid endorsement against ferrets
and
bats. And
let me, you know, this person you're talking about and their predictions, you know, I've been in public health emergency management for a while, and we've always known that this could happen.
Oh, yeah.
He might have been able to predict, you know, the coronavirus, but we've always known. And I tell you, there's been a lot of times we've stopped them or we've kept them from getting worse, any kind of outbreak.
And
people work very, very hard around the world at doing this.
Okay.
But there's been a lot of predictions. This one is now coming true, though.
And that's what he says. And he didn't, he's very, very specific about this. He did not predict COVID-19. He said, I predict that a SARS, and I can actually, it's in his book called Deadliest Enemy, published in 2017, chapter 13, on
mm-hmm.
SARS.
Right.
And he goes, I just because he's like, I've been to those markets, I've studied it as a professional epidemiologist. I've been there as just a person, like a tourist traveling. He goes, this is like a novel SARS is going to come from here, right? And then 3 years later, 2.5 years later, or whatever, then it happens, right? And it's not that hard to predict when you've been studying them for decades, right? Where it's like, look, it's just bound to happen,
right?
Just like a comet or something hitting Earth, right? The
it's
odds
bound
are
to
just
happen.
Like, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. All we can do is brace ourselves and be as preventative as possible. I think how COVID has been handled, right, is that, you know, people just weren't taking the proper precautions, and we also got caught off guard because of timing. Now, there is a lot of talk about this kind of dying off as the warmer seasons hit. What are your guys' thoughts on that as far as this?
It's a novel virus. We hope for that
okay.
with the flu. We get that with the flu. This
okay.
might, but there's a very good chance it might not because it's a novel virus. We don't know.
Okay.
So, again, people shouldn't panic. People should just keep that in the back of their head that the way that they are used to living their daily life may be a little bit different. And you may have to keep a little bit more distance, but I mean, there's no need to panic per se. What's everybody going to do? Go running down the street? I can't imagine. You just need to keep your distance, take care of your elderly and your high-risk population, and, you know, stock up a little bit more than maybe you would. Don't run to the store every day.
There's no way to stop or control what's going on from
mm-hmm.
our standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop it from hurting us as much as possible. You know, by practicing, you know, like safe sex, safe social distancing and everything else, you know. But
you heard it here. Wear condoms. Well,
yeah,
and I kind of want to go ahead.
One other
go
thing
ahead,
we need
something.
To talk about is we talk about a pandemic as only like who lives and who dies. And that's just a little bit about what happens during a pandemic. You have, you know, when it's a global pandemic like this, and there's all kinds of definitions to what we're dealing with, and a global pandemic is a definition, the whole world economy suffers. People, not
yeah.
only do people die, but we have issues with hospitals, we have issues with food, we have issues with production, we have, you know, there's a whole gamut of things that are happening, and it's not like just the flu where, oh, some people get sick. no, this is shutting down major industries. This is shutting down schools. This is shutting down, you know, a lot of, I mean, what if, like we talked about the other day, if this economy, if they have to stop, like they just shut off Italy, they're getting ready to shut off Spain. What if the United States has to shut off and we don't have an economy for a week?
Mm-hmm.
What's
right.
going to happen? Who lives and who dies?
Well, and that scares me the most because if my listeners don't know, and they probably should by now, but if you're new, I'm in door-to-door sales. So my job is direct marketing. I go door-to-door marketing a product and service to people in their homes. And so if this gets to the point where I, like, by law, right, because of state of emergency, I have to stay home and I can't report to work, that affects me, right? And that's just one instance, right? Right now we're seeing it where it is affecting local venues, right? Whether it be wedding venues or clubs or bars or any kind of social venue, right? Mm-hmm. That rely on patrons coming on a daily, right? Or on a weekly basis, right? It is affecting those and it will continue to affect those. If we, and this is kind of sad, but I started taking it serious when the NCAA, who is probably arguably, and I'm going to say right here, one of the most corrupt organizations when it comes to sports, mm-hmm. Says we're going to shut down the March Madness tournament.
Yeah.
I go, that's billions of dollars they're saying goodbye to.
Wow.
And that's saying
right.
a lot.
Is-
but that's saying a lot. That's saying, okay, this is actually more serious than money. Right.
But
like,
what was sad was that affected so many people and they weren't
yeah.
waking up to the fact that this is going to affect so much. But, oh, the NBA got canceled. Oh, that's terrible. Well, it's been terrible, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm man enough and human enough to admit, okay, I erred in my judgment, right? I took okay. this as this is just the media spewing shit, right? And just okay. taking on a sexy topic and
yeah.
beating it like a dead horse, which the media often does.
Well, they
right?
beat
and,
everything like a dead horse, but that's their
oh
job.
Oh my God. Well, geez. And that's why it was. And I took it from a selfish perspective, right? I was looking for content for my listeners. I was like, oh my God, there's nothing to talk about except for COVID and how COVID is affecting everything. And it's because it literally put everything to a dead halt.
Sure.
Not just the economy, but how we function, how we think, how we're interacting with everyone else.
Right.
It really is affecting. And that's not a bad thing because we really should be trying to get ahead of this, and right now we're not.
We're way behind.
Uh-huh.
We're not ready for something like this. Right. Countries are doing much better than us. And I'll tell you, I had a guy come to the door the other day to do some installation of something. And
uh-huh.
he went to shake my hand, and I said no. And he's like, oh, that's right. I guess we need to get used to that. He's like, but we live in America. It's not going to hurt us here. And I looked at him, and I'm like, I've worked public health emergency management. What are you talking about? He's like, well, we're better than that. I said, no, we have a finite amount of people who can work in the healthcare industry. We have a finite amount of equipment
uh-huh.
that we can use. Uh-huh. Everything is finite, which is, again, that, you know, bringing down that bell curve. We can only take
right.
care of so many people at once.
At once.
And at
right.
one point, we have to say, these people die because we just don't have it, and these people live because they have more of a chance of living. And yes, that is a decision that paramedics make every day. That's a decision that doctors make sometimes, you know, but when you have and I shouldn't say paramedics make it every day. In Alaska, where we used to live, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they just have two or three helicopters, when they
yep.
have a mass casualty accident, they have to decide who gets the helicopters and who doesn't.
Yep.
So there are areas.
And I just want to clarify too. She's not talking about just people in the bush or and out in like remote areas. We're also talking about when it happens in Anchorage, which is the biggest city in Alaska, when they're trying to helicopter people to Seattle or Oregon or somewhere that they can actually treat this person, a specialist. There's, you know, a lot of people have pride in their nation. That's fine. right? I think that's healthy to have pride in where you live, right? But sometimes it is egotistical, right? Especially when you're talking about the financial marks, when it's like, oh, we're America, right? We've done a great job branding that, right? Where it's like, we're top shit, nothing can touch us, right? But we're human. And I think, including myself, we need to realize that all of us, at some point, we have a breaking point, we have a weakness. And this COVID-19 hit a weakness in not just the United States infrastructure, but globally, right? Where their infrastructure is built up over years, right? Thousands of years or hundreds of years more than the United States, where we're only 200 and some years old, right? We're not that old of a country, right? So it's something definitely to think about. Okay. We're going to switch to more of a comical setting, because I think we've hit the marks that we needed to, as far as COVID-19. Unless there's anything else you guys need to add.
I would just recommend that you don't go visit any of April's elderly relatives for a while.
Yeah.
And really, this is the time to think globally. It's not a time to think about yourself and what matters most for you. You're thinking about what's best for America and what's best for this world. And I'll tell you right now that the government's trying to think of what, that ethical things. How can we do the most good for the most amount of people?
Mm-hmm. It's very, right now. And it's a very utilitarian topic, because you, at this point, right, and this is for my philosophy nerds, you can't be a deontologist about this. Like, it's not objective, right? It's more of like, what is going to be creating the best good, the highest good for the most amount of people? And right now, not going to social gatherings is that utilitarian answer,
right?
It's like, look, this is spread by just breathing the same air of someone who's infected, because that virus is sitting at someone's throat, and just every oxygen molecule that leaves, or carbon a molecule that leaves their body, is entering someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely just more of a personal accountability, personal responsibility to quarantine yourself to the ability that you can, right? Obviously, you need to pay the bills. You need to feed your family, right? But they're even right now in Laredo, from my understanding, we don't have any documented cases, but there was a family that had traveled to Europe recently, like within the past week, and they're like caused a scare at one of the elementary schools.
Oh, wow.
And now, and if the listeners don't know, my in-laws are both educators. My father-in-law is a middle school teacher, 24 years as a middle school teacher. My mother-in-law works for the district. She was a principal for about 10 or more years. So they're both now, like, the district and all the schools are looking at remote work, right? Distance education. And also my mother-in-law, in her case, they're going to be just doing web conferences and stuff like that. And we don't even have cases here. And that's just to be a little bit more preventative, because there are cases 3 hours away, right? And seeing that this is spreading very rapidly, the responsible response is to, okay, let's start being a little bit more preemptive and have more precautions in place.
Correct.
And also, go ahead.
All right, I was going to say another thing is, when you start talking about laws and things that can be done, of course, everyone shies away from the idea of quarantine and forcing things to happen. But the medical community has the most amount of power of just about anybody, in the way that a medical officer can shut down restaurants, they can shut down towns, they can shut down a lot of things, because medically you've got the most power to say it's got to stop right now. It's okay, if your business doesn't make it, well, so be it. I mean, this is the point where the medical community, that medical officer, has a lot of power to stop things.
Right.
We're seeing it with the schools. We're seeing bars and restaurants. And now everyone's going, how am I going to get paid? How am I going to pay my bills? And because the state governments are doing great, the federal government is very slow at whatever they're doing.
Right.
So this is going to be a problem. People are going to go bankrupt in this. People are going to lose their businesses in this. It's going to turn out to be a major thing. Now, we can talk again in a week and 2 weeks, and we'll see where that comes. But in my opinion, this is going to really, really dramatically change the way we exist from now on in this world.
Not to like completely disagree with you, I think it will affect at least for the time being, at least for a year or two until we get ahead of this. But as we've seen from any financial crisis, the world has a way of bouncing back. For some people, this is an opportunity, right? Yeah. If you have the funds to start buying up stocks, this is your time, right? You don't look at this as a negative. It's like, I've been preparing for this. I've been preparing this since 2009, when in 2008, I bought a bunch of stocks, right? And I bought a bunch of properties in the real estate crash, right? This isn't always a bad thing, right? Just to give a different flavor to the topic, right?
Right.
The 1%, right? It's for people that, you know, for entrepreneurs and small business, but I'm about to be a small business owner. So I definitely understand it from that perspective, but for some people it's not always like, okay, this is the end of the world, right? For my business,
well,
right?
I mean,
it's like, okay, you hopefully you've been planning for this contingency plan. All businesses, right, have a contingency plan for when shit hits the wind, right?
No,
it's
they
like,
don't. I can guarantee you they don't.
Well,
I work on plenty of continuity plans, and I've worked on plenty of coop plans.
Let me rephrase. They should. They ought to, right?
Absolutely.
I will prescribe that they ought to have a contingency plan. When I was starting my business, it was explicitly written as its own topic, contingency plan, right? What happens when shit hits the fan? This is our option, right? And hopefully, and I do hope that the businesses that are going to be affected, right, restaurants, venues, stuff like that, have planned. I understand that a lot of them probably haven't, right, or weren't able to, right? Some of them are just barely getting the electricity bill paid with their business, right? So I hope the best. It's a pretty shitty situation across the globe, and I think for the most part, you know, Trump's a dumbass and so is Pence. We can all agree on that. But, you know, for the most part, I think local municipalities are doing their best. And so are our medical professionals. So shout out to them. I don't think any of my listeners are medical professionals. But if you guys are, you guys are awesome. You know what? Actually, Melissa Deppa is a nurse. So, Melissa, if you're listen to this, stay strong. Hopefully you stay healthy, right? Mom, I know you've worked with a lot of medical professionals. Hopefully everyone's doing well. Chris, you also have, right? I guess I haven't asked this and you guys haven't said anything. Do you guys know anyone personally who's been affected by COVID? Not the peripheral effect. I'm talking about directly affected by COVID-19.
No, I don't know anyone that's tested positive now.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, we know of people, but I don't know anybody personally, no.
Okay.
Now we did, I will tell you though, not people who were affected by COVID, I mean, have COVID themselves, but there was a friend, a brother-in-law, who just yesterday, they were reaching out because he had just started chemo. And was waiting on stem cells to come from his perfect match, who happened to be in Poland. Well, the border shutting stopped it,
right?
Because some other countries weren't notified as a courtesy, it actually was going to affect that shipment. And you know, this is, stem cells don't last forever; they have to be shipped quickly.
No.
The courier was telling the family that there was nothing they could do. So thankfully, we got word today that through different departments and different departments in Poland and the United States, thankfully, that shipment has moved and will be there in time. Right. And it would have affected them greatly because he would have died.
But not everybody has the power to do that right now. No. And when these stupid decisions are being made, that idea of closing, stopping all that traffic was made in that one, you know, those couple people that made that decision, not notifying anybody else, not notifying any other countries. This has caused a lot of harm to people.
Right. So that's just one example. And these people are not, you know, the 1% by any means. But I will tell you that, you know, they got the media out there. They immediately started making phone calls to their congressmen and their representatives. And
they were making
phone calls to the State Department and the ambassadors. And you know, just regular, everyday people reaching out. And thankfully, they got a hold of someone who made it happen. So,
which is what is beautiful about this government.
Right. So, yeah, you can't do that in other countries. So,
that's something definitely to praise is that you don't. I mean, I feel like, and we're going to end this soon. We're almost at an hour, which I'm really happy about.
We can keep going, right? I'm so tired.
We're good, but I definitely got to use the bathroom. If I had like a co-host, I could be like, okay, take over, right? But, you know, a lot of people, and I'm definitely more of a middle ground Democratic, like perspective, but. You know, a lot of people believe that you have to have the money to make a difference. And I really think it's persistence of will, right? And if you want something done, right, you got to work for it. If you have the means, financial means, yeah, it might be a little bit easier, might be a lot easier, right?
You can buy it, and that's a problem.
Right. But if you have a cause that needs to get done, it can be done in this country. And there are a ton of countries in this world that's not even remotely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I am, you know, to go back to national pride, I am proud to be American. I'm not proud of our president. I'm not proud of that administration, but that's only one. And I think a lot of people forget that. That's not like the end all be all of what America is, right? It doesn't stop at Trump and his administration. It stops with like what we all do and our personal accountability and what our local governments do and what we vote for. That's when our vote matters, is in those local municipalities, right? And how we engage and how we deal with these, you know, pandemics or, you know, global catastrophes, whether it be natural or financial or whatever. So let's stay optimistic that our, you know, local governments have our interests at heart, and that our safety and everything, and hopefully we're going to do well.
Right.
And we get out of this.
If I could, on that note, while we're sitting here and saying, you know, we have the best in everything, if you could reach out, anybody out there, just reach out and make sure there are some elderly people who are afraid to get out, who can't get out. To get groceries, people with disabilities, you could very easily help someone. So if everybody were just to look out for each other, it would probably make this a little bit better.
I agree. Do whatever you can. I'm sure if people aren't posting on Facebook that they need help, if you know someone from church and you know someone from your neighborhood, just to expand on this, go knock on their door, right? Or go talk with them and see in any way how you can help. You know, don't put, if you obviously are sick or anything, don't put them at risk. But if you're able-bodied, you have a, you know, clean bill of health, or you don't have any symptoms, please do your best. You know, this goes back to, it takes a village, to help one another. And it really does. We all rely on one another, even on our day-to-day when we forget that, right? Our dollar bill spent at a local shop makes ripples, right? Our care and our ability to help others makes ripples. So definitely do your best to help your community.
It's just like it took an entire village to raise you and your brother.
Holy shit. It really did. And I have...
I think it was states and maybe even internationally sometimes. And there's a lot of people... There's a lot of people around here who have a part of raising you.
That is correct.
And that's a military family.
Yeah. Well, and No, I have a podcast idea for this and a blog idea for this, but you know, I'll kind of tease it now, but I was raised by a bunch of mentors. I mean, my mom's, you guys are awesome. Especially Susan, you know, my biological mom who birthed me, right?
I'm better.
You're awesome, right? But you also traveled a lot because of requirement of duty and also to help raise us. You know, you made certain sacrifices, and so that has not gone unnoticed. And I think because of that tribe of mentors, including Chris, including everyone, right, that was involved, I'm a lot more flexible than I think most people are. Right, when it comes to attitude and social abilities and kind of, I don't know, thought processes, right?
You've had to deal with a lot of change, right?
A lot of adapting, yeah, absolutely. But I was also just taught. I mean, I don't think I would have ever, like, found a passion for podcasting or anything like that if it weren't for, like, guys like, you know, Torian or Urell or, you know, Jamie or any of those guys at, like, the Youth Center. Right, that had gotten me into just recording, right, when I was a rap artist for a short stint, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
then I was
podcast.
Oh my goodness. And then I was a poet, right? I still write poems here and there, but you know, I don't ever share them. But well, moms, I think this is a good place to wrap. I'm definitely going to have you guys back on. We'll talk more about personal embarrassing stories of me. I'd love to share those.
Yeah.
I am unabashedly, like, aware of how, like, my actions have been in the past. So I have no problem sharing, I would say, 99.99% of them. So we'll definitely have to, like, we'll have to clear them first. But because I've done some dumb shit over time. And I don't want one story to ruin, you know. I'm not saying there is one, but there might be. I have no idea.
We don't want to talk about how I woke up finding the shower going for the past couple hours and Cody's sleeping bed. So.
Right. Oh, my God.
Right.
No, that's ridiculous. Or that you just told me you wanted to share the story. The first time you met Dylan and I, we were in our underwear, which I don't even remember.
You didn't start out in your underwear, but you decided that you guys were going to take off your pants and dance in your underwear. Yes.
Well, I have plenty of naked stories. No, we shouldn't share this. So, moms, you've been great. Thank you so much. I love you both.
I'll let you
guys get back to your Sunday evening, and I appreciate your time and professional opinions. Thanks,
love
moms.
Bye-bye.
I will talk to you all later.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you.
All right, Contians, that's the end of the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope you guys learned something. Again, I apologize for the quality of the audio. That will improve over time, so bear with me. Step up in your community. Do what you possibly can. As we all isolate ourselves, remember that those that are most at risk are the most terrified to leave their house. So we're talking the elderly. We're talking those that have pre-existing conditions, respiratory conditions that put them at risk. So reach out to them. If they're a member of your church, your school, your work, your neighborhood, just do what you can. Obviously, we're not all superhuman. We don't have to go above and beyond, but we should do what we can to help each other. Follow me at iconteven.home.blog. Like and subscribe, comment down below on some of the things that you think my listeners or you want to share with everyone else, and what they should know about COVID-19. If you are an epidemiologist or a virologist, hit me up. I would love to have you on the podcast. I really don't think we can give enough information. Maybe we can. But if you have novel information that the mainstream media is not talking about and that I have not touched upon, feel free to hit me up or comment down below your thoughts and your professional opinion. Share this with your friends and family, your coworkers, your neighbors, anyone who you think should really listen to, experts, or just enjoy some bullshit entertainment while we get through this, while we're all in quarantine or whatever. Whenever you're listening to this, right? We have no idea how this is going to develop. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed. It was fun having my parents on the podcast. And I love that they are highly educated and highly professional in what they do. So it makes for really great content and very relative content for you guys. So I will catch you guys tomorrow with a new episode. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Peace.